Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Pastor Leroy, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, Pastor Kent. I'm a little concerned about something.
Yes.
I'm a little concerned about something tonight. I'm concerned about Pastor Kent. Pastor Kent has not been on.
Why, what's going on? What's going on with Pastor Kent?
He hasn't been on for many days. I'm concerned about him. I don't know what's going on with him. That's all I got to say about that.
I don't know. I haven't heard from him. He hasn't reached out to me or anything to let me know what's going on.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about him. I think maybe he's going off the deep end. I don't know. But I hope he comes on couple days.
I really do not know. I know. I just know he was having probably with his sister. He's having problems with his sister, but I mean, I don't know if that's just it.
Yeah, I just hope he's okay. That's all.
Yeah, I mean,
let's talk about Pastor Ken. But Pastor Ken, how was your Thanksgiving, man?
Oh, it was great. It was great. We had a friend over for Thanksgiving. Okay, so it was just very simple, very quiet. Okay, a couple birds. Okay, mashed potatoes, green bean casserole, sweet potatoes, potato salad. We had a whole bunch, pretty good, nice spread of food there. Okay, we had a couple pies.
Okay, so. Yeah, I love that green bean casserole. Here in my neighborhood, it is more like shit casserole. And I'll tell you why we call it that, man. Because, you know, I don't want to, you know what? Do you have any callers online? I've had a lot of alcohol tonight, so I don't want to ruin your show. So, you got any calls tonight?
We got one caller so far. I'm going to bring him on. 111, you're on the air.
Orale, this is Pastor B.D. Loquito Jr. Hey, how you doing there, Pastor Kid and Pastor Leroy Jackson for the Bronx?
Hey, how you doing there, Pastor B.D.? Chiquito Jr.
You doing okay? I'm doing all right, man. I was like, man, I want to hear the pastor show, man. And that's why I was trying to reach you, you know, on Discord.
Right.
Seen all those kids in a whole row, you know?
Yeah, I had fell asleep, so I was running a little bit late. I didn't mean to do that. Fall asleep. I was just laying down, just resting my eyes. You get ready for the show, and the next thing I know, I woke up and went, oh, my. I got to get up and do the show.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, yesterday, man, I spent the whole day asleep. From the morning till... I woke up today like around 4 o'clock in the morning, you know. But yeah, I was asleep for the whole day. Yeah, it's crazy, man. Even my girl would say, "Hey, come to our house, to my mom's house," and all that. I was like, I didn't even answer. She thinks I'm cheating on her now. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, she's pretty fine, you know, so I'm not trying to ruin that relationship right there. So, I mean, like every vato wants to be with her, you know, but she's with me, you know. So.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, she's like a model, you know.
Right.
Like one of those Instagram chicks, homes.
Okay.
Yeah, she's fine, homes. Yeah.
Good. I'm glad
Hey, so this is Leroy Jackson for the Bronx. What do you have to drink, Holmes?
Well, look here, man. Look here. I'm I drank some gin, a little bit of vodka, and now I'm cooking leftover Thanksgiving turkey, man, with some potatoes. My old lady cooked me last night. I want to say also happy Thanksgiving to everybody who's listening to the show, man. Man, it's
you ever
it's
had
good,
the
right?
You ever had the tequila with that little worm?
Absolutely.
That is crazy. Have you ever tasted like the little worm?
I know I have hallucinated on that worm before.
Packed. It's like a peyote, you know. You're on the spiritual high, you know, right there, you know. Any more calls?
Yeah, I got another 111-er. Okay, let me check it and see who we got. Okay, 111, you're on the air.
Hello, Ken. This is
Johnny
Longfeather. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I am glad you can understand me.
I encourage
Beanie to talk slowly and very loud because Ken has a hearing loss.
I have hearing loss, and I have to now wear hearing aids.
Louder.
Hey, Goals, you have hearing aid, Holmes?
I'm going to be getting some January 5th.
Hey, Holmes, I didn't know you were losing your hearing. Also, now I have to speak louder?
No, you okay. I can hear you.
Okay.
You okay.
Pastor Beanie, do you know sign language? Do you know
sign language?
Okay.
I know the sign language with the cuss words, you know?
Can you give an example?
We can't see it, so it doesn't matter.
I could describe it. You know, when you put the letter D, the small case letter D on your finger, put it on your nose, and then point at it, that means, I can't say the word, you know, because it's a cuss word, but it means Richard's face. Richard's face.
Yeah.
Dick nose.
No, dick face.
Okay. Thank you.
The fuck?
Ken, I don't know any sign language. I will try to learn a few signs. Okay?
Okay, great. All right.
Are you going to do a sermon tonight?
Yes, I am. I'm going to do a sermon tonight.
Can you tell the name of the sermon?
Yes, I can. It's called
Be a what?
Being a true disciple. Okay? Let me take another call here. 111.
Shalom, Timmy. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine.
It's DC2. Can you hear me, brother?
Yes, I can.
DC2 from the 90s, man.
Timmy. I was sorry to hear about your hearing loss, brother. Can you hear me?
All right.
Okay. Kenny.
I can hear.
Kenny, how long have you been going deaf?
evidently quite some time now. Okay.
Okay.
I had the hearing test, and they said that I couldn't hear all the high-pitched frequencies, okay, which was causing me to have hearing loss.
Do you think that it was a result of the beeps Tony gave you?
What?
Kenneth, can you hear me, sir? It's DC2.
Yeah.
Do you think your hearing loss is a result of the beatings Tony Farrar gave you?
Yeah.
No, I never had a beating. No, no.
Did he box your ears?
No, no.
Kenneth,
in the chat, Gavin Moorhead says he can't hear you. Please speak up.
Oh, okay. All right.
Will
okay.
you be
well,
doing
Kenneth.
Your sermon in sign language?
No, I don't know sign language. Okay.
You
so
better
anyway,
learn.
Kenneth, you need to learn sign language so that you can communicate with people.
No, I can be, as long as I can hear you, I'll be okay. All right? So listen, I'm going to put everybody on mute and play some music, then we're going to get
no,
into the sermon.
Kenneth, why are you playing music? You can't even hear it.
Oh, yeah, I can hear it. Okay, I can hear it. We're going to play some music now. It's called King of Mercy by Maniac Drive.
Never too far from Jersey's face. There's never a distance from forgiveness. Your love travels endlessly. Reached out and has redeemed voices of song. Thank you.
walls, you can't hold us.
Try to add things to make them appear to be more individualized. but you can never be more of an individual than maybe what God has made you to be. Your life carries a certain level of distinctiveness with it, and you are the only one who can truly be you. God made you that way and wants you to use you for his kingdom purposes. He has made you and me to be seasoning in the earth to give us that distinctiveness he's looking for. So once we have accepted the Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, all he wants us is for us is to be true disciples. So what is a true disciple by definition? The word true means to be real, genuine, authentic. And the world's disciple means a person who is provable or adherent to the doctrines of another, a follower. So a true disciple, therefore, is one who is a real, genuine, authentic pupil or adherent to the doctrines of another. In this case, Jesus Christ. It means we can't be fake, wishy-washy, sometimey or part-time, but we must be real about what we learn from the Lord and put it to life on a daily basis. So as we continue through Matthew chapter 5, we come to that part of the sermon where Jesus is comparing the disciples to salt and how to make a difference. Just as salt has no equal, it pertains to the various types of seasoning. So the true disciple has no equal as well. Salt is set aside or set apart for a particular use and purpose, and that's what a true disciple is to God. When he saves us, one of the things we experience is called sanctification, which is a separation unto God for a particular use and purpose. Once we've been sanctified, we don't go where we used to go, do what we used to do, say what we used to say, act like we used to act, but instead we begin to influence those around us because God has changed us for his purpose. We've become salt for God's glory. So if we want to be a true disciple, we must know a few things about salt. Salt character. When I was in the military, there were some people that was called salty. These were people who had been around for a while. But more importantly, whatever they said or did was a reflection of the military in them. When they answered a question, it had military influence. When they were out of uniform, they were something that made reference to the Marine Corps or the Army or here the Navy or the Air Force. Even after hours they spoke to you in military time, if you were going to meet them somewhere, they would set a time at 1900 instead of 7 p.m. It set them apart from just the ordinary person in uniform. Here are a few things about salt we want to look at. Salt is distinctive. There is no other ingredient like it in the world, and that can be said about true disciples. As a true disciple, we are called and designed to be the salt of the earth. Excuse me. And God wants us to be unspotted from the world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 through 18, we find, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean things. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So salt preserves. To preserve means to keep from going bad or being destroyed. Although I've never had to do it, I've heard stories when people who lived in the country used to cook their food and coat the meat in salt as a way to preserve it. They didn't have freezers like we do today. They did have salt to keep the meat fresh. God has called us to be a preservative to the world and to keep it fresh and save it from corruption. The Bible teaches us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 25, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeyed the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of brethren, see that ye love one another in pure heart, fervently, being born again not of corrupted seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and the glory of man in the flower of grass. The grass within earth is the flower thereof falleth away. For the will of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which the gospel is preached unto you. It is a word that helps us to preserve. Also, salt penetrates. When salt touches food we eat, it penetrates it so that the flavor is found throughout. That's how God wants us to be in the world, with the ability to penetrate and influence people to see things God's way. Once this happens, a new quality, substance, and life takes place. we were told in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. So salt flavors. Most places you go to eat at cooked up food without seasoning, and therefore the food is bland. I can't speak for anyone else, but I can't stand eating bland food. On the other hand, I enjoy eating a good steak that requires no steak sauce at all. Why? Because it has the right amount of flavor already in it. Salt is that ingredient which adds flavor like no other, and that's how the Lord wants to use us with our fellow men. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, with the Son, Jesus Christ. So salt spreads. When you shake salt on the food, it goes all over it. It doesn't just stop in one spot. It makes it way everywhere. As the salt of the earth, we should always be mindful of our commissions to evangelize the world. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready to always give an answer to every man that asks us of a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So salt is irrepressible. One thing that can be said about salt is that once you put it out there, you can't take it back. It goes forth with purpose and does what it's set out to do. So the word of God is found in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, which says, So shall my word be goeth forth from my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it. As the salt of the earth, God wants to use us to get his word out. So salt's ministry. If you take a close look at our selected text, you will find that the Lord gave a specific location for salt to be used, the earth. Since this is where we live, the earth is the place in which we can have the most influence. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he told his disciples to meet him in Jerusalem so that he can empower them for their work. Once they were all assembled in Jerusalem, he told them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is to come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me, both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Here, the Lord details for them where their ministry was supposed to be. Since we don't have those places around us, we do have a place in which we live to spread our salt in the earth. It is reported recently that there are approximately 33 million unchurched people in the state of California alone. This means those people do not attend church at all, or may only attend for special holidays, weddings, or funerals. They have no religious or denominational affiliation, and they're destined to bear eternal damnation if they do not make a decision to accept and receive Christ as Lord and Savior before leaving the earth. That's why the Bible teaches in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 through 8, that saith unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I can't speak for anyone else, but I'm so glad somebody spent some salt around me so I can know Jesus Christ for myself. Salt's mission. The preacher's outline in the Sermon Bible says, Disciples' mission is to salt the earth. Note a critical point. Believers are the salt of the earth, not of heaven. They can do nothing to salt heaven. They cannot penetrate, flavor, or preserve heaven. Any relationship whatsoever have with heaven is a gift from heaven. However, believers are the salt of the earth. They can penetrate, flavor, and preserve the earth. For this to be true, the believer cannot do these things unless they have salt in them already. See, you can't tell somebody about a Savior that you don't know. You can't tell somebody about a healer who has never healed you. You can't tell somebody about a redeemer unless you've been redeemed already. And you can't tell somebody about eternal life unless you already have it. As salt, we have the mission to go and tell somebody about the one who has made us the salt of the earth, and his name is Jesus. Not only did he give us a mission, but he commissioned us to be salt. He commissioned us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19-20, when he said, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So one thing we must be mindful of, and that is our usefulness. Although salt cannot lose its saltiness or flavor, it can become useless when mixed with the wrong things. When Jesus was giving the statement, salt was gathered in certain places to be used at an appropriate time. There were times when the salt was mixed in with the dirt or was no longer useful and actually became destructive to the ground and then was found in. It is critical for us to understand that we don't need to be mixed in the world nor take the plans of vices of the world in order to be used by God. The statement also has a reference to backsliders or those who have known the Lord but have turned their backs on him. Of this person, God says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So if you want to be a true disciple, you've got to be salty. You've got to live a life reflective of the one who gave you eternal life. You've got to be distinctive. You've got to be a preserver. You've got to be a penetrator and allow the word of God to penetrate the soul of mankind. You've got to add flavor. You've got to spread yourself out, and you've got to be irrepressible if you want to be a true disciple. You've got to tell a dying world about the risen Savior. You've got to tell the world about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You've got to tell the world about the great I Am. You've got to tell the world about the door of the sheep. You've got to tell the world... Okay, about the Good Shepherd. You've got to tell the world about the lily of the valley and the bright morning star. You've got to tell the world about the one who hung, bled, and died on a Calvary's cross between two thieves. You've got to tell the world about the one who was put in the borrowed tomb. You've got to tell the world about the one who rose from the dead early one Sunday morning with all the power in his hands. And you've got to tell the world about Jesus. Yes, you've got to tell the world about Jesus. And then and only then will you be a true disciple. Amen. Now, if you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, you have a chance to do so right now. All you have to do is simply say this simple prayer after me, and you will be accepted into the Lord's kingdom. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and then there is nothing that I can do to save myself. I confess with my complete helplessness to forgive my own sin or to work my way to heaven. At this moment, I trust Christ alone as the one who bore my sin when he died on the cross. I believe that he did all that would ever be necessary for me to stand in your holy presence. So I thank you that Christ was raised from the dead as a guarantee of my own resurrection. As best as I can, I now transfer my trust unto him. I am grateful that he has promised to receive me despite my many sins and failures. So, Father, I take you at your word. I thank you that I can face death now and that you are my Savior. So I will once again thank you for your assurance that you will walk with me through the deep valley. Thank you for hearing this prayer in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, if you said this prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministry would like to welcome you to the family of God. We'd like to say that he always keep you highly favored. Amen. Okay, well, let's take some callers here. We'll bring on Pastor Leroy, and we'll bring back DC too. Okay, hey y'all,
thank
how
you,
y'all
Kenny.
Doing?
Thank you, Kenny. That was beautiful.
You're so welcome.
Amen. Amen.
All right. So did y'all have a good Thanksgiving?
Yes, I did, Kenneth. It was wonderful. I had turkey, mashed potatoes, gravy, yams, sweet potatoes, cold 45, and some Newports, brother. How was your Thanksgiving?
Good. I had two turkeys. I had lots of potatoes, green bean casserole, pumpkin and cherry pie, and, of course, I had Lucky Strikes.
Oh. Sounds beautiful, Kenny. Do you have any more callers, Kenneth?
Yes, I do. I happen to have two callers. I have a 111 and another 111. Let me bring them on.
Amen.
111, you're on the air.
Hello, Pastor Ken. This is Mike. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I've had COVID, so I've been sick, but I wanted to call in because I have a poem for everyone.
Amen.
Okay.
It's for our listening.
I don't think, yeah.
Okay, well, no more delays. Let me get right to it. Farrar was hired at Ram Ranch for the holidays. He likes to act lewd. He got on stage and started stripping and immediately got booed. He was very aroused and up for anything. He's definitely not a prude. Frittata went out to the barn with six white cowboys and one black dude. Some of them were big, some of them were small, and one had a penis that was tattooed. Condoms were passed out quickly. They were all in the mood. The barnyard gangbang started. One cowboy fucked an egg hole, and the animals were watching. One of the horses pooed. While Farrar was in the middle of the man pile, someone stole his Ram Ranch cowboy boots. That was very rude. Farrar had six, with six or seven men for over 2 hours, and his boots were stolen. Man, he really got screwed. But that's okay. I'm giving you a new nickname tonight. You are the queen of microwave food. Hashtag queen of microwave food. Thank you.
That was beautiful,
okay.
Mike Hunt. Thank you for sharing that. Kenny, didn't you enjoy that poem?
It was definitely different. That was definitely different.
Amen.
But, you know, unfortunately, okay, Tony Farrar did not go to Ram Ranch. And we were not in a man pile for Thanksgiving. And we did not have microwave food. Okay?
You don't own a microwave, Kenny? I thought that I heard you using the microwave before.
I have a microwave, and I only use it to reheat.
I'm sorry, Kenny. I was just told I wasn't talking loud enough. Can you hear me, Kenny?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, brother. I hope that there are more callers on the line and they will respect your hearing loss and speak very loudly and very slowly.
Okay. All right.
Is
yeah,
that
I hope so, too.
For you in the chat? For all the people in the set, am I being loud enough for Kenny?
Yeah. Okay. Let's take another 111 caller and see who I have. 111, you're on the air.
Hello, this be Dr. Darryl Perkins, Jr. I'm a pastor at Mesa View Baptist Church, Highway, California.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad to hear from you.
Praise the Lord.
I heard you bees using one of my sermons about salt.
Yes, I did. It was a very good sermon.
Then you might be interested in some of my other sermons on black pepper, garlic powder, thyme, cinnamon, oregano, rosemary, cayenne pepper, cumin,
nutmeg,
and paprika.
Put him backstage, man.
I have not yet done one. I have not done a sermon on Sage yet. If I do, would you like to steal it?
Oh, no.
Yeah, man, I'm all about Sage, man. I put Sage in everything I cook. I put Sage in my ribs, in my lamb, in my chicken, man, in my collard greens. We put it all here in the black neighborhood.
I'm black,
damn,
too.
Son of a bitch, I need a drink, man.
I'm black, too. I got my bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degrees in theology from Andersonville Theological Seminary in Georgia.
All right.
Kenny! God damn it, Kenny! Why are you stealing sermons again, Kenneth? I told you to stop stealing fucking sermons, Kenny! Can you hear me?
Boom!
This be Dr. Darrow Perkins.
What did I tell you, Kenny? We were in the fucking circle of trust and you just blew up my bullshit detector again, Kenny!
I recited a sermon, okay, on
about... Did you cite the sermon, Kenneth? Did you cite the sermon?
I might have forgotten that. I might have.
Kenny, you can't forget that. You're going to get fucking sued, Kenneth.
You did not ask for my permission to use my sermon. This be Dr. Darrow Perkins.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry, Dr. Darrow Perkins. I saw this great sermon you wrote, and I thought it needed to be spread, okay, throughout the earth. Like the sun.
Spread like your asshole.
Honey.
Yeah, all right. God
Kenneth,
bless.
Did you lose your hearing in Tel Aviv when the bus blew up?
Good night, everybody. God bless you.
Kenneth, why
and,
are you running like a bitch, Kenny? Kenny,
and,
what is wrong with you? You're just deaf. You're not retarded. What in the hell is going on this show, Kenneth?
Nothing. Goodbye, everybody. God bless you.
Kenny, why are you running?